Hello all, welcome to the Lunar Sea Spire Cartoon Fan Podcast. This is episode 458, and today we'll be talking about Now I'm Really Alone, from Bean Puppy Cat. I'm GC13.
And I'm David, and I definitely have a cat vigorously pawing at the door that I'm at, which will probably be a significant sound. So let me give him what he wants really quickly.
Yes, please, just come in. Come in. You won't find what you're looking for.
These are not the droids he's looking for?
No. He's looking at me like, maybe I'm not going to get what I wanted.
Well, Puppy Cat definitely got what he wanted. He just had to take care of business himself. I love how practical Puppy Cat can be. Very practical solution for a practical problem. He doesn't want to take the retraining. She doesn't have to. All that matters is that they think she did.
It was a perfect B plot.
It was a perfect Puppy Cat plot.
Yeah, finally, is just executing responsibility in a very straightforward way. And he's learned how to operate within the way that B operates, which is to say, he knows he needs to make a hand puppet. And once he has his hand puppet that looks like B, that's enough to go through the retraining, which seems to be run by another robot. I guess most of this temp space, temp agency work is just done by various robots. I really liked this robot's design. The teacher robot was truly wonderfully bizarre.
The fact that they're all robots gives a whole new meaning to the phrase corporate drones.
Truly. And despite Puppy Cat's best efforts to ridicule the class and ignore it, he can't help but apparently be correct every time he gets the bee puppet to say whatever or I don't care, because those are the right answers, apparently, to doing temp work.
Truly, it is a curse to be so right so often.
It's funny, too, that he had his earplugs in for 90% of it, and yet, after he leaves, he muses slash complains to himself that he didn't learn anything. It's like, well, yeah, that was the point, right? I thought those were your expectations to start, bud.
Well, at least he didn't have to pay for the course and then complain that he didn't learn anything after actively dodging all lectures.
Yeah. And it's funny because this is not a story he'll ever tell B. Just whenever they resume temp work again, she'll probably have already forgotten about it.
And if she does ask, hey, what about the retraining? That's okay, I took care of it.
Meanwhile, poor B, this entire episode, tries her hardest to just make more money than she causes problems. And with Molly, that's apparently a little bit harder thing to do. But darn if they're not cute while trying.
Yeah, Cardamon had a great, great one. He senses the drywall, looks up and sees the hole, and then immediately turns to the garden. This needs to be cold. That's a fine. And she had actually done it.
I appreciate that so much drywall damage is done around this little neighborhood, which of course we've seen Toast commit the destruction of drywall plenty of times, but he knows it by taste, right? Not even by sight. All right, kid. I hope you get your mom back soon.
Maybe he's just a big fan of Garfield and Friends, that he knows the taste of drywall.
I want to know what episode of Garfield and Friends focuses on the flavor of drywall.
No, it's just a meme from the end of the Hansel and Gretel episode where Garfield eats a chunk of drywall. People enjoy that gif, so.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
I liked the fake out with them making it look like, oh, is Cardamon's mom up? And it's like, eh, for one, this isn't the last episode of the season, so like this isn't when you would do that. And number the B, I just don't see the cause and effect here, so. Yep, I was right. It was B.
Yeah, this is the right kind of fake out, because the only thing leading into it was us learning that Cardamon tried to get wish crystals to wake up his mom, and they didn't work out. They worked out in a weird way. So us learning that isn't going to change suddenly how the wish's outcome went. So I did like that he saw the beautiful breakfast that she tried making as something much more beautiful first. And it looks like she just kind of made slabs of meat. Maybe there's eggs in there.
Looked ungood.
Yeah, but she doesn't really eat, so, you know.
Yeah, pains of being a robot.
Which definitely was a mild theme in this episode, too. She kind of is talking with another immortal being and is not remiss. She doesn't know how to feel or what to do, or she doesn't know how to care anymore about problems like, I have things in the ocean. Do I need to retrieve them? I don't know. I guess I'm going to live forever. It's the first hint we see that this thing that happened to her, she got sick, somehow her dad did something to make her into this immortal robot, you know, might not be such a great thing for her. Like, maybe she's actually kind of bummed about it. That's, from a plot and character development perspective, interesting to see. I do feel for B, though. That's unfortunate that maybe it's a little bit of a curse, but luckily she hasn't been alive that long yet. I guess the immortalness is still pretty new, right? Like, within the scale of 10 to 15 years, because...
Yeah, she hasn't had friends outlive her just yet.
No, right. Like, the wizard family's been there the whole time.
I loved Cass's line, though, about, you know, how she's like, you know, I used to think you were weird, how you never aged, and you're here with this obviously non-human person. But since I have stuff that I want, I don't care.
Yeah, she has much more of a breakdown this episode. I don't know why she's so frustrated by it. Is it that no one else comments on it? Like, she's alone in her ability to recognize weird? I think that's the most biggest contributing factor.
Yeah, she and Ronaldo would definitely be simpatico if she found herself in Beach City. Ronaldo's the only person who thinks that anything is strange at all, and so he has to invent an explanation that is just as strange as he feels the stuff is.
Right, that's the one place where Cass would be like, oh my god, I'm still so alone in the world. Is once Ronaldo starts actually theorizing about it.
Yeah, I don't think she would be Jane's replacement. Not by a long shot. He's just not her type.
Definitely not.
But, yeah, that's definitely going to be an interesting delivery that Molly makes. Is it wrong that when they cut to the classroom, I was sure that it was going to be the Warlocks? Then I had to realize, oh, this is a lecture.
It has that vibe. The shape of the characters isn't even really like the Warlocks, but just the room that they're in, and quickly you have to distinguish, oh, is this music about to be the weird wow, 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 and it's not. But I guess that's anytime we see, like, a black void of space. The Warlocks were still here. They did really want Molly for some reason, presumably because they make wish crystals, which is pretty useful.
Yeah, but just a few kicks is all it takes. Yeah. They give up easy.
They really do. Like, this is the easiest yet. And for some reason, I think it was a callback to when we saw them before. We saw the hands fighting at one point. I don't know if...
Yeah.
I can't remember the context of that, though. Were they just trying to focus on Puppy Cat?
I don't know. Green showed up and then totally let Molly steal the ring.
Yeah.
I like how he phrases it. Oh, I can travel to anyone who's given me a gift. Looks at this thing he stole.
And to a energy soda shop somehow. Like, maybe if he's on the planet, he can also casually teleport around a little bit.
Yeah, that would make sense that for traveling far distances, he needs something he can home in on.
Yeah, that's my headcanon.
I'll give him that.
I think space is big and he doesn't just know everywhere in space. But if he generally knows where, he can teleport there without any items.
Although he might smash a wall on his way in.
Right. Clearly not that precise.
Yeah, oops. And then, ooh. Am I wrong for having sensed a bit of a parallel, like with the cat saying, oh no, you're doing a great job, and then B with a, oh no, no, this is fine. Because it kind of gels with her ducking of responsibility anyway. Yet it also matches up so well with what had happened to her on her last job.
Yeah, it's a little similar. At least the cat is more condescending directly. You know, B should have picked up on it. She really tries to ignore signals of negativity and just focus on the positive. And that certainly carries forward, too, with Molly. She's actually disturbed. Like, she does take a moment to sidebar with Puppy Cat and express her actual frustration with the fact that there's a giant hole in her house now, but she tries to reframe it. She keeps reframing all the mistakes that they make along the way, washing dishes, etc., as, you know, opportunities or
survivable accidents.
Right. Moments to reflect on other things, like how pretty Molly's hands are. You know, that's nice.
Yeah. You know, we made enough money to cover the damage we did while trying to do a good thing.
It does seem like we're getting closer to some of these things coming to a head for B, though, right? She can't always just be so relaxed about everything or be a gremlin and skirt all responsibilities. These things matter, right?
Yeah, the her finally going underwater with Puppy Cat kind of had a bit of the old you gotta grow up sometime vibes from Greg deciding to get a job at the car wash.
Yep. Oh god, that scene, by the way, in Steven Universe, wonderful, because I love the Yusuf drive my van into your heart again there as his transition into adulthood.
And how completely irrelevant to her question his response was.
Yes. The decision that B makes to go into the ocean is impactful because we know that she skirts responsibility, but we don't really understand what happened with the ocean. So it's mysterious. It's sublime. It's great that she's dealing with this thing, but we don't really understand even the scale of the problem or why she's afraid of water. Clearly it's not because her robotic parts are damaged by water. She can go underwater just fine. She doesn't even look that nervous underwater. But, well, there's stuff under there. I mean, we've seen Puppy Cat's spaceship under there before. We know that she has random stuff like the thing Cass was playing with.
Yeah, the confetti cannon.
Yeah, but like, what is the rest of the stuff? Why is it B's stuff? When B became a robot, did she then just throw a bunch of junk into the ocean? Like, she's from Earth. She didn't have stuff from space crash in the ocean, right? Like,
nope.
How did stuff get in the ocean? Why is it a thing she doesn't want to deal with? Was she traumatized by the event that caused all the things that go into water, and that's why she doesn't like water? Is there some other reason she doesn't like water? For me, I get a little clouded thinking about all the other things that are mysterious, and then it's a little harder to just say, oh yeah, wow, character moment for B. Because instead, I'm thinking, oh, there's one episode left in the season. What are they going to answer here? And of course, they have a very quick cut for the end of this episode, making you very much want to consider this a part one of two.
Very much so. Nat David, for somebody who loves the sublime so much, you seem to be very uneasy at all of the unanswered questions.
Oh, that's the fun part, though. I think if Steven Universe had answered every question I had, it wouldn't be so sticky in my mind so much later, right? Like, it's good that there's those weird things. It's good that there's millions, billions of holes on Homeworld and it's broken in half and there's statues of fusions and I never know anything about it, because that just means that the world is big. So I like that B and Puppy Cat's world is big because it's a weird show. And it would be perfectly fine if it was like a mini series that just happened and ended. But I mean, this show is getting a second season. I have confidence, though, that even after the second season completes, or even after the whole series completes, they're going to have left us with a lot of weird things.
We'll just have more questions.
Yeah, I mean, even just the start of this episode, Molly's got, like, at least three distinct things that happened to him in space that we didn't even talk about, that we really have no idea what the connection is. He sees a bunch of spirits, but then they're just a tear in his eye.
I would have to understand it to be able to talk about it, so that's the problem.
It's fun. It's like, it's a whole experience, right? Yes, you have questions, but also you have questions just about how it's even written. How do you conceive of these things? And it's just such a trip the whole time. And the music is, it's a weird little lo-fi thing. And I just love it. So yes, I am tortured by the mysteries, but at the same time, I'm delighted by them. And I don't know. I have hope that we'll get answers that we don't quite expect, right? I feel like even the reveal in this episode of why Cardamom's mom is where the tears come from, essentially, right? We see them in molecular crystals. It's an interesting reveal to me because it's not a big shock, right? Like, the show will set up some mysteries, but when it answers them, it's not this huge catharsis yet because you've already had more questions arise and it's not super dramatic, like, it's actually just small, and it has a very specific emotional impact. Just it's not some big lore reveal. It's just, oh yeah, Cardamon is at his wit's end and he is tired and he is a little boy and he doesn't know what happened to his mom and he's trying.
He is a little boy who can finally see his floor. He has hardwood. Who knew?
Oh, yeah, that was heartwarming and bittersweet. I hope those tears don't fill up his house again soon. Except I don't have to say that because I know what happens in the next episode.
Yeah. They may have faked us out, but not for long.
Not for long. So yeah, I like that though. If the reveals really drive toward character moments or something more than just, ah, there's a lore, isn't the lore fun? This show, for all the mysteries it has, it doesn't feel lore-y to me. It really feels like it's all contributing to an experience and not quite a message, but definitely a journey for each of the characters.
Definitely character-focused slice of life with a lore twist.
Yeah, I like that. It's a lore twist. It's a little bit gentler on it. Like, the mysteries are still mysterious, but it's a little gentler than how Steven Universe felt, where I think it had the same level of commitment and focus, but they really spent more time in the background details that we just poured over forever, right? Like, BM Puppy Cat isn't going to put diamond authority symbology in the background of multiple scenes. They're not trying to... To me, that's more like Gravity Falls, we're hiding mysteries everywhere, piece it all together when the credits are rolling, you know? That's not really what they're doing here. It's much more in the Adventure Time side of things, where... Who knows? You can never tell what's throwaway and what's a retcon.
We'll toss some mysteries out there, and if we like them, we'll come back to them next season with some answers we just thought of.
Yes. Yes. Although I feel like a little more intentionality here. Like, Molly's weird spirit tears, they probably already know what they're doing with that. I hope.
Yeah, but did they know back in the YouTube days what his deal was going to be?
Definitely not. And I need to go back now, too. I want to compare where exactly it was going in the web series versus this.
I want to watch the scene on the Donut Planet. I just want to watch that whole YouTube episode. I hear people like the music better in the YouTube version, so I want to make up my own mind.
It is a big dramatic scene because it's the finale of that one, which certainly helps emphasize why Molly's role is so big here again.
Well, he's a big man, so he's got to have a big role.
He is a big guy. He thumps everywhere he walks.
Do we have any explanation for why he seemed to only be dragged through space for a few minutes and then he shows up several months later?
My impression is that he was either being dragged in space for a long time, although that could be conflicted with because it depends on when we think do the hands line up with a scene we've seen before. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't line up with a scene before, and then he really could have just been dragged through space for a long time. Also, you could kind of hand wave and say, well, the moments after the hands let him go, there could be any time skip, right? Every time the scene cuts and zooms in closer or farther away from him, that could have been a month. So I'm going to chalk it up to one of those two things.
There might just be a time skip where he's just sitting there in space for 5 months and then till he realizes, oh, wait, I can teleport.
Well, and teleportation might not be faster than light either, right? Like, it was basically instantaneous, seemingly, on the planet, you know, near the island. But who knows how far away in space they were, right? Like, could have been hundreds of millions of light years away. So I don't know how sci-fi this show is, though.
Hopefully he travels faster than the speed of light then.
Well, yeah, it could be faster than light, but not that much faster than light. You know, there is variance.
Look, I can go hundreds of millions of times the speed of light, but it's not instantaneous.
Right, you know, there is a number. There's a number.
Well, I'm excited to see the season finale. Are you excited to discuss the season finale?
Yes, and honestly, at this point, it's probably been like 4 to 6 months. Or maybe even longer since I have seen it. So, I mean, I only remember the major beats. So it won't be experiencing it for the first time, but it'll be with podcaster eyes. And so I'm excited. And who knows, sometimes maybe announcements pop up when you least expect them, but when they'd be most convenient. So hopefully season two isn't too far away. But until then, I'm excited to watch the last one more time and then Probably watch the whole dang thing again and watch the YouTube series again.
Anyway, guys, that's it for us on Now I'm Really Alone. Join us next week. Until then, I'm GC13.
And I'm David. Don't forget to leave us a review anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Later, everybody. Our opening and closing music is by Mark Soto. For more cartoon-related content, please visit LunarCeasefire.com.